Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
A little frosty out there this morning, Mark Schlereth. I don't know about you.
Yeah?
Well, you probably have like a nice heated garage, right?
It's not heated.
Keep your car in there.
I have a garage.
I don't have, but do you get to keep your car in your garage?
Yeah.
See, I don't.
Why?
Well, because my wife gets one part of the garage, and the other part is just a dumping ground for everybody else's junk that I'm forced to clean up every, you know, week and a half or so.
Well, clean it up and get, well, but you have a big truck.
Right, so it'd be hard to put it in there.
I got you.
So anyway, came out
so
this
you're
morning.
Just kind of like me blaming my wife for being fat. You're blaming your wife for not having garage space because you got a big truck.
Right. My truck is fat.
Your truck is fat.
Fat.
Like speaking of fat.
PH fat.
It was my daughter-in-law's birthday yesterday. Yeah. And we went to, I'll say it wrong. Fogo de Chão.
You went to Fogo de Chão. What is it, Huff? Is it Fogo de Chão? I think it's Chão.
Fogo de Chão.
Chão.
Fogo de Chão.
Fogo de Chão. One of those
my
places.
My guy's fat.
It's one of those places where you just
eat carved meat.
Red, green.
Keep
the green.
Yes.
Green means
yes,
go.
Yes, green means, and I was green all night long. And I, you know what, I learned from the last time I went there, because last time I went there, I ate so much meat, I just didn't even sleep. I just had this big meat gut.
Yeah, meat sweats.
Yeah, the meat sweats. But last night, I played it perfectly. First off, I didn't load up on salad.
No.
I was like, oh, salad bar? I'll take one little, I took like one leaf. Just one little iceberg leaf. You know? Yeah, one of my James Marillat. Oh, look at the salad. It looks wonderful. No. Nope. Had one little leaf just to keep the things moving, you know?
Right.
And then it was all meat from that point forward.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What a concept, huh?
I don't know how they made. I was sitting there thinking as I was just absolutely shoving beef down my gullet. I was thinking to myself, how are they making any money on my table? They're not.
They can't be.
No.
But how many ladies were there?
Well, it was my wife and my daughter-in-law. But the kids eat free. The babies.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably lost money with you.
And then me and my son and my son's father-in-law. So, yeah, I mean, the three of us guys.
Yeah, you went after it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, it was awesome.
Good for you.
It was good meat.
Yeah, that's just,
it's good, clean meat.
You know, it's like, what do you have there? Sure.
Yeah, they just keep coming around.
What do you got? Yeah, I'll try that.
It's all the meatballs. Right, it's like filet, and then it's like sirloin, and then it's like, and it's all delicious. Yeah. And then it's like New York. New York? Would you like New York?
Yeah. Of course. Well, I love New York, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Good for you. So, Mark, even
happy
fatter.
Birthday to my daughter-in-law.
Mark, even fatter than he was yesterday.
I've started my diet now.
Oh, today, huh?
Restarting it.
Recommitted, huh?
Oh, today I am, like, locked in.
Locked in.
Laser-like focus on the diet.
You are just, like, flipping the switch.
Oh, yeah. I will probably lose 12 pounds today.
He's been activated. Yeah, he's been activated. Yeah. All right, so, you know, when you're 3-6, there's certainly been plenty of room for negativity and complaining and grousing about where the Broncos are at. So, want to try a different tack today.
Okay.
And that is, try to accentuate the positives. What are the positives that have come out of this season thus far? Okay? It can be players. It can be coaches. It can be, you know, just the overall, you know, vibe, the atmosphere, whatever you think is positive. Now, I also know you, 6 a.m. Listeners, texters, very, very talented, very creative.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of you can be very sarcastic and droll and be able to get in a good shot.
Sure.
Under the guise of being positive.
Right, which we encourage. We do encourage that, right?
Of course.
Yes, okay, good.
Of course.
For a minute there, you didn't respond. No. I thought to myself, wait a minute, maybe we don't encourage that.
Right.
Now. Maybe
like,
we're...
You know, 72 Eagles says, all the positive is they aren't 2-7. Which is impossible because Vic Fangio said they can only be better than 3-6, not worse.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, which is, so that doesn't work. Can I give you a positive?
Absolutely.
I'll give you a positive right now. So you think about the fact that Von Miller hasn't had a real productive season. You lost Bradley Chubb. I mean, that was going to be the makings of your defense, right? Those two edge rushers, correct?
Maybe the best in the NFL.
Right.
Best tandem.
Okay. So you lost one. The other hasn't had the most productive season. You know, it's not, he's not compiling numbers, right? It's not all fantasy points for Von Miller. You have lost multiple corners due to either injury or the fact that they just haven't played very well. You dumped your starting linebacker to go for a young guy simply because your starting linebacker was injured. You've had a lot of different things go down, and this defense has played at a, I think statistically, they're in the top five, top 10 defenses. With all that change, with all those, I mean, you picked a guy up off of a New England's roster to start at corner for you. And you've got a bunch of guys that you didn't hear of coming into the season. The Devontae Harris, the Harrises of the world, you know, the Dawsons of the world. Some of these guys on the defensive side of the ball playing. I mean, that's a pretty impressive thing when you've had all that turnover, all those injuries, some of those guys that you've picked out that can't play. And all of a sudden, boom. Here you are atop. I don't know where they rank defensively, but they got to be top 10 defense.
Defensively, they're ranked 10th, and points allowed, they're 9th. So, top 10 defense.
Top 10 defense.
With all those
with
things.
All that turnover.
Yeah.
And by the way, on top of that, with an offense that really hasn't produced at all.
Well,
during the season.
What that tells me is while we don't have a full grade yet on Vic Fangio as a head coach, he has delivered as advertised as a defensive coach.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think you look at what's happening here, and you also look at what's going on in Chicago, and yeah, I think you could point to the Fangio effect, the Fangio bump, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
so that's positive.
Point. That's a good point, considering all the new faces,
right.
Injuries, all that, to still be a top 10 defense, saddled with that offense. Yeah. All right. See, this is how it works, folks. Being positive. What do you got? RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Coming up, we always give you a chance, in case you missed it, and probably about 80% of you did. Joel Klatt yesterday had some very interesting things to say about all these college quarterbacks that could be available to the Broncos in next year's draft. He breaks them all down for you. Coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.
Every week we bring you the best of Joel Klatt from our weekly visit with Joel, lead college football analyst for Fox, presented by Audi Flatirons. And, you know, here's a guy who certainly follows the college game extensively, knows all about the quarterbacks that might be out there available in the draft next year. And he had a chance to call one of those guys as Oregon played USC last week in a game he did. So he got a good look at Justin Herbert.
I like Herbert. I think it's going to be hard for him to be the top quarterback on my board, which means that he's likely going to be available where the Broncos select. Couple of things he does really, really well. He is talented, okay? So he's got a great arm. I think he understands this year better than previous years how to change up his pitches, if you will. I talk about this a lot, but I think you can't just sit there and throw fastballs as a quarterback. You got to know how to throw deep ball with touch. You got to understand how to layer the football. You've heard me talk about that, Mike, about, you know, how to attack the, what I would call the second level and the intermediate zones and seams in a defense where you're throwing the ball over linebackers and in front of safeties. I call that layering the ball. And then you've got to understand how to throw the ball short. And he understands that. And for a guy with a big arm, normally what I see is a guy out there just trying to throw fastballs. He doesn't generally do that. He can change it up well. I like that a lot. He anticipates better this year than he has in previous seasons. He has a really good grasp of what they're doing offensively, both in the protections and in the run game. So he's doing a lot of run-to-run checks. He's changing a lot of protections at the line of scrimmage. I love to see that because I think that that is an indicator that you won't be overwhelmed with the NFL schematics and the responsibility put upon the shoulders of the quarterback at the next level. A couple of things that maybe I think that he struggles with. He doesn't survey the entire field very well. In terms of getting to the third and fourth man in the progression, when you see quarterbacks that are really comfortable, within an offense, what you generally see is they survey and scan the field well, in particular when they're in a progression read. And Herbert can at times flinch and panic just a hair when he gets to the second and then trying to transition to the third man in the progression. That's a bit worrisome because at the NFL level, you really got to get through those reads and you can't panic and you got to be in there and survey it. So he's trying to get better at that. That's something that I think he needs to continue to work on. But right now, I think he would certainly, at least in my estimation, I know all the teams are going to have these rankings very different, but if it was my board, I think Herbert will be available when Denver is selecting in that, 7, 8, 9 range.
Where is he compared to the other guys on your board right now? And I know it's not a complete board, and I know you've got a lot of studying left to do, but where does he rank with the other three or four guys we've heard with the Burrows and the Tuas and all those guys?
Yeah, I think right now, Tua for me is a guy. Now, his health has a lot to do with this, because if he can't stay healthy, I think that this is going to knock him down. But Tua is a guy for me that really checks off all of the boxes, Mark. And I know he's not a huge guy, but again, the direction that the league is going with the success Lamar Jackson is having, with the success even Kyler Murray is having, to be quite frank with you, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, and the like, I don't think that the age-old adage of, hey, you got to be 6'4", carries the day. Tua is certainly big enough. He makes incredible throws. He's very smart. He throws on time. He anticipates windows better than anybody else. His health is a concern, and it's also a bit of a concern that he's playing with by far better players than his competition. And when he does play what I would call similar competition, his numbers do take a significant drop. That's something I'll be evaluating and really taking a deep dive into after the season. And then another guy, I think Joe Burrow has played himself right up into that category. And then a guy that I think quietly you should pay attention to, because he actually outplayed Herbert, and I would actually have him higher than Herbert right now if he comes out, is Jacob Eason at Washington. This guy's really, I mean, he's got all the tools that Herbert does, and yet he can sit in the pocket and survey the field a little bit better and more calmly than maybe Justin does.
Okay. All right. So, simply put, you're the Denver Broncos.
Why are you upset with that?
I'm not upset.
You're flustered.
No. I'm not flustered. You can't fluster me. You can't fluster me. You tried over the years.
What if I take away your tasty cakes?
Oh, no, that might fluster me a little bit. That might rattle me a little bit.
That's more flummox than fluster.
That might rattle my cage just a little bit. All right, you're the Denver Broncos. All the quarterbacks are on the board for you. You take who?
Oh, man. I would take Tua. But that's right now. Again, like, I think that this is going to change even for me 4, 5, 6 times until the draft season. And I haven't really gotten into, I think it's so different when I'm in the season and I'm watching all these players and I'm evaluating the teams I'm doing from week to week. And I try to get a sense for what guys are doing both statistically and then for their team as it relates to like the playoff or a Heisman race or something along those lines. And then when I can actually sit in and back to back watch their film and compare them. So I'm sure that this is going to change, Mike, so I don't want you to hold my feet to the fire. But right now, when I just look at what's most important the next level, which I believe is anticipating windows, throwing receivers open, having that just that overall instinctive sense for the position, I would probably take Tua right now.
All right, say take Tua off the board. Of the rest that are left over, where do you go?
This is where I would probably be different from most. And again, this is probably going to change, but this is where I really like Jacob Eason at Washington. And if he comes out, guys, I think that at least to this point, I think that when I'm watching, so for instance, when I'm watching him against Oregon's defense in preparation for last week, I think this is why I'm so high on him, is I'm fresh off a week of really studying his film as it relates to that defense that I was getting ready for last week. I was just really, really impressed. He does a lot of things well. He doesn't panic. He's got an absolute howitzer for an arm, which to me is not, you know, the end-all be-all, certainly, but he can make every single throw. He understands touch. I think he's a really good player.
All right, there he is, Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons each and every week with us. Coming up next, it is the Morning Brew. Baker talking about his mustache. And already Sooner fan is rallying to Baker's defense. That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evan.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning and you're going to crap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Step.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. It's some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
It's still up in the air. You know, since we're not practicing this week, you know, we don't have to make a decision till next week.
Yeah, Vic Fangio giving his team the entire week off. Now, by league mandate, you got to have Thursday through Sunday off, but they got the whole week off.
Yeah.
And
there used to be a day, Mike, when you, I don't know, weren't good, that you got punished for not being good, not rewarded.
Well, I find it interesting, and I know people hate the Patriot comparisons, but they have been the gold standard, so, you know, what they do, I think, is worth talking about in this situation. So they only had one practice.
Okay, they had a practice.
This week.
Right.
It was yesterday.
Okay.
They were in full pads.
Hmm.
So here's a team, and I know Fangio talked about, well, you know, we reported a training camp, you know, earlier, and all this and that. I mean, this is a Patriots team that routinely plays into, you know, February.
Right.
And they know that they're probably going to have a long playoff run again.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, they're out there yesterday smacking heads in full pads.
They got physically handled by Baltimore. I mean, they physically got handled by Baltimore. You know what they probably did? They probably worked on all the mistakes that they made defending that Baltimore offense, because they probably said, hey, you know what? Odds are we're going to have to face them again come playoff time, guys. And you guys just didn't do well enough. So full pads, it's a punishment, and we're going to work on things. We're going to work on the things that that cost us the football game. Weird. That is weird.
Next on the Morning Brew.
The quarterback said a Movember mustache. And the original thought for me, do the handlebars. I was undefeated before Sunday with the handlebar mustache, so I shaved it off because I didn't deserve it.
Oh, so mustache gate.
Yeah.
So Baker Mayfield, who like had three different looks on his face on Sunday, said he shaved off his mustache after the game and looked like Daniel Stern's character from the Wet Bandits in Home Alone because of superstition. And immediately, a Sooner fan came to his rescue. You ready for this?
Oh, gosh. Here we go. Sooner fan's annoying. I can't stand Sooner fan.
Here's what I got.
I've
sat here and listened to you guys bust on Baker for the last week and a half now. Now you're going to make fun of the kid's mustache? You guys do know, at Oklahoma, all 3 years he was there, he had a handlebar mustache when he played Oklahoma State and went undefeated. You know you guys seem to forget that he's not even through his second year yet. He's already gone through three different head coaches and three different offensive coordinators. The kid was trying to be positive with his handlebar mustache, and you guys are making fun of him for it, and it's pretty freaking low.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are making fun of him because he put himself out there, okay? This whole bit, oh, he's a kid. Hey, all I know is that kid did not turn down any commercial opportunity, did not turn down any magazine interview opportunity, did not turn down any magazine cover opportunity, doubled down when asked about all the hype, saying the hype is real, and now all of a sudden he's a victim? Stop it.
Right. Yeah, he's not a victim. Come on, give me a break. Plus, he got chased down by a cop who just absolutely laid into him. It was awesome. kid, that cop should be playing linebacker for the Broncos. That guy was awesome. He's really good.
Next on the Morning Bro.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of as people or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
It is imploding in Chi-Town.
Oh, gosh.
The savior, Mitch Trubisky, wants all of the Hallis Hall TVs muted so that they don't have to, or he doesn't have to, hear all the criticism coming right in the Bears' way.
He does sound a little bit like a French waiter, doesn't he? We, a lot of we's in there. It's not the we's they're talking about. It's the you's that they're talking about right now. Oh, we? We shouldn't have to listen to the criticism that we're, you know.
Meaning it's code for, I shouldn't have to listen right to all the criticism I'm getting.
Yeah. Listen, there is plenty to go around. You look at that game that I called last week. Hey, man, here their receivers couldn't beat one-on-one coverage. Everybody wants to bust on Mitch Trubisky. Hey, one-on-one, you're getting locked up. Locked up. So, listen, man, you know, there's a lot of fingers to be pointed.
If you are the number two overall pick in the draft and your team traded up from 3 to 2 to get you, you should be making average look above average. That's just a fact. And through 7 games, he's got 5 touchdown passes.
He sucks.
Not playing very well.
But the good news is the Bears hold a 5-year option on him.
Oh, the fifth-year option.
They have the fifth-year option.
Oh, well, that makes it all okay, then.
Okay. Next on the Morning Brew.
Here's Carr. End zone, back of the end zone. Grab, touchdown, Waller. Waller grabs it, back of the end zone. He is a nightmare mismatch.
Rivers eludes, throws toward the end zone. Jump, caught, Keenan Allen. What a catch. Touchdown, Chargers. 28 yards. Knock on wood.
Thursday Night Football. Good one. I'm looking forward to this. Chargers Raiders from Oaktown. Who you got?
I like the Raiders. The Raiders are an improving football team. They still have issues. There's no question about that. Derek Carr is playing great. Have you seen some of the numbers he's putting up? Like 72% completion percentage. Red zone touchdowns. He's one of the top red zone touchdown guys in football.
He's got 71% completion. 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
The Raiders.
Yeah, he's played really well.
Did it, you know, have done it without, they were counting on, you know, they were counting on Antonio Brown. He leaves. It really, they, one of their starting Z receivers, they just cut him, you know. I mean, they've done it without a great receiving core. They've morphed into a 3 tight ends offense to some degree. I mean, they've made a lot of significant changes, and they're still, I mean, they're competitive in every game.
And the Chargers, after getting out to their slow start, they've won 2 in a row, and you know Anthony Lynn is talking to his guys about this 3-game sequence that they have that could, you know, totally turn their season around. They're at the Raiders, home against the Chiefs, and then here at Denver. 3 big division games.
Right. So you get right back into it.
You can get right back into it. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat put together a list. I love a good list. This one has 15 possible quarterbacks who could be wearing a Denver Bronco uniform and suiting up as the starter for next season. Go through this fascinating list next. Leave it to our man James Merrillat from 1043thefan.com. To take sort of a casually thrown out topic, like came up in our war room the other day, and really dive into it, research it, put a lot of thought into it, and come out with a very insightful column that he dropped at 1043thefan.com. It came out of our conversation during the roundtable about predictions as to who will be the Broncos' starting quarterback next year. And we had a variety of answers, but James came up with the possibility of 15 guys. And you know what? He makes a good case for all 15 of them. And he joins us now. James, good work. Did you find it was easier or harder to come up with 15 guys?
Well, it was easy to get to about
12 or 13. You know, it's like any list. It's like, well, the first few or the first bunch comes pretty easy, and then it's like, well, I got to get it to somewhat of a number that makes sense. So 13 was easy. From there, it got a little tricky. There's a few in there that are stretches, right? Like, you know, Tom Brady's a pipe dream, but Adam Schefter dropped the bomb on Monday Night Football a few weeks back that Brady can get out of his contract. He's selling his house. His trainer's selling his house. So, you know, that at least puts a name like that in the conversation. And we've seen a free agent like that come to Denver before. So you have to throw it out there. But diving into it and doing the research, the one that I thought jumped out to me and kind of made me think the most was the fact that Nick Mullins is going to be a free agent in San Francisco. A guy that has played for Rich Scangarello, a guy that won't be super expensive. That's a name that just seems like it'll make a lot of sense in the offseason of the Broncos if they don't think that Brandon Allen or Drew Lock is the answer, if they don't want to go with Joe Flacco again, or if they don't feel like drafting a quarterback. It's a little bit more of a known commodity given that a guy on their coaching staff has worked with him so closely. So, you know, wasn't an easy list to put together, but I really do think all 15 guys, there's a percentage chance that they could end up here.
Your number one guy on the list, Drew Lock. Why?
Well, it's just, you know, he's like the incumbent, which sounds funny because he hasn't played a game yet.
Well, he hasn't practiced, yeah.
Right. But he's here. They drafted him to be the quarterback of the future. He's a guy with talent that had him in most mock drafts last year, for what that's worth, going in the first round. So he has the ability. He's already here. He knows the system. I think all things point toward that being the obvious answer. Assuming he ever gets to practice, assuming he ever gets to play, and then when he does, if he doesn't go out there and just fall flat on his face, I think if Drew Lock goes out in the two games, which is what it sounds like, and I think that's laughable, that's not enough, 2 to 5 games that he gets to play this year, and looks like a guy that can be a capable NFL quarterback and can run this offense, I think they go with him because then they can address other issues. Then when you have the 8th pick in the draft, you can take a left tackle. You can take LaVisca from CU and add another weapon opposite Cortland Sutton. There's other ways you can go. So I think the last thing the Broncos want to do is spend a first-round pick on a quarterback when they have so many other needs. So if Drew Lock shows that he has any ability or any chance of being the guy, I think he's going to get that job.
Visiting with James Merrilife from 104.3thefan.com, it seems a foregone conclusion to many people that there will be a different quarterback next year, but yet, what about Joe Flacco? It seems to me you like the odds that he could still be the guy here next year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, he's still under contract, so that makes him a viable possibility. And you know, they could look at these two young guys and say neither one of them is ready. They could look at the rookie class and say, well, the guy we want isn't going to fall to us. We don't want to give up enough to move up and get in there. And you know what? We don't want to spend $20 million a year on Teddy Bridgewater. So, you know, Joe Flacco's an option because he may be the guy by default, right? Like every other opportunity or every other chance just doesn't work out and nobody steps up and answers it. So you look around and go, well, it's the devil we know, and so instead of the devil we don't know, and you end up sticking with Flacco. So I know that would be a tough sell in training camp. I think we would all sit out there and be doing radio shows for 4 weeks trying to figure out how in the heck is the team going to sell this? How are we going to sell this? How is it going to be any different this year than it was the first 8 games last year? That would be from a marketing standpoint, a PR standpoint, and just a buzz standpoint, it would be a buzz kill, but it's a viable option because he's a guy that's under contract. And like I say, he's the double they know.
What about the college quarterbacks? I see you've got Eason here at 14. You've got Herbert at 8, Joe Burrow at 6. And your number one guy on your list for the potential college quarterbacks here, what do you call those, Mike? The
fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank five. Jake Fromm at number 4. Why did you go with Fromm as the highest most likely candidate out of the college quarterbacks?
I feel like he's the guy that kind of fits where the league is going. You know, the other ones, when I'm looking at them and you start looking at their measurables, you know, a lot of them are the 6'6", 230 guy, and I'm like, geez, another 6'6", 6'7", quarterback. I have a hard time seeing the Broncos going that route. So I think a guy that's maybe a little bit more like
We've seen players go, quarterbacks that move in that direction, the Drew Brees, Russell Wilsons of the world. And I think people are going to end up falling in love with the kid's moxie. You know, it's sort of that intangible, that it factor, that stuff that we all kind of roll our eyes when people talk about it. But, he just seems to have it when you watch him play, and he's played in a ton of big games and, you know, stepped up and been good in those moments. I mean, I saw his first start live in person in South Bend, Indiana. Talk about a tough venue to walk in and make your debut as a college football player. And, you know, he didn't seem rattled by that. So, I think that's some of the things that'll move him up, but all of those guys can play. I mean, it's a little bit of guesswork in terms of, well, who would be 15, who'd be 13, who'd be 6, because you're trying to figure out, well, who would John Elway like? And I just kind of look at the guys he's drafted, especially at that position, and kind of the way they carry themselves, and Jake Fromm seems to have some of those personality traits that I think Elway seems to like.
It's a good read. Top 15 quarterbacks most likely to be the Broncos starter in 2020. Check it out. James Marilat at 1043thefan.com. James, thank you.
You bet. Thanks, folks.
All right, coming up next. We're accentuating the positive this morning, the positives that have emerged thus far from the Broncos season. That's next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.